Week 4. Prepare. Key indicator. The rest of Amos 4 is not easy. If you remember in Hosea, God said that he gave his people all of the things they needed, but they thanked their pagan gods for them instead. He gave and gave, but they would not return to him. Now in Amos, God didn't bring blessings, he brought hardship and want. God was clear. He was bringing the hardship upon them to get his people's attention. However, the harder things became, the more his people turned away from him. Quote, "Yet you did not return to me," close quote. God lamented repeatedly throughout Amos chapter 4. Whether times were good or times were bad, God was left out. Their thankless hearts were indicative of growing evil and rebellion within. Thankfulness is the big indicator as to where we are in our walk with the Lord. It may seem small, but it's the fruit of a healthy relationship with God. It shows how much or how little we think of God. Remember Jesus in Luke 17 when he healed 10 lepers and only one came back to say thank you? And the one who came back wasn't even among the people of Israel. He was from another region altogether. It's very telling of God's people that this outsider was the only thankful one. Jesus replied, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Luke 17, 18 and 19. The thanklessness of God's people, we included, can be appalling. When have you expressed thankfulness to God recently for all he has done for you? Getting real. One of the most terrifying statements God made in the whole Bible comes up next. In the face of his own people's blatant rebellion, injustice, cruelty, perversity, and greed, God said he would personally bring the might of his wrath on this haughty nation in judgment. He said this in no uncertain terms. "Therefore, this will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Amos 4:12. Those words were meant to drive people to their knees in prayer. Let me ask you this question that I have asked myself many times. Is this how God needs to speak to you to get your attention? Will you listen with a thankful heart as he sings songs of love and care over you? Or do you have to come up against the might of a just God because you keep burning it down in your sin and selfishness, dragging his name and yours through the mud? Come on, let's be real together. Are you hard-headed and stubborn in your sin? Always remember God's character. He wants us to return to him in full confession and repentance so that he can pour out his blessings on us in peace. He is not mean and nasty. He is just. Who would want an unjust God except those who want a free pass to do whatever they feel like doing no matter what? People of conscience want a just God, but he is merciful too. Only God can balance those two so perfectly. What we conceive God to be like. A.W. Tozer had a great quote. He believed that what says the most about a person, quote, is not what he at any given time may say or do, but what he in his deep heart conceives God to be like, close quote. Tozer, Knowledge of the Holy. That's a huge predictor of how someone will act in any situation. If they have a low view of God, they'll likely not consider him with great importance in how they live and think. A high view of God will shape the life and mind towards a biblical and abundant life in Christ. When Amos dropped the fact that God says to prepare for his judgment, how did the people of the northern kingdom respond? What did they conceive God to be like? This is very telling. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Amos 7:10-13. The priest called Amos's words a conspiracy and ran to the king once his message turned against the northern kingdom. The king was that priest's higher authority. He then shouted for Amos to turn around and go back where he came from. He declared that Bethel was the king's sanctuary for that kingdom. The words of God were not welcome there, especially if they didn't have glowing things to say. In short, they didn't think much of God. They did think much of Assyria, though. Remember Hosea saying, Ephraim, the northern kingdom, is like a dove, silly and without sense, calling to Egypt, going to Assyria. Hosea 7:11. Like a silly dove, they cooed and wooed the very pagan kingdom that was about to wipe them out. There's a lesson there. God decried their apathetic and indifferent attitude towards him. In the face of all their opposition, Amos shouted God's message. I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs, to the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amos 5:21-23-24. God isn't looking for fake faith and religious junk. He's looking for justice and righteousness that comes out of a real faith in him. He wants people who will listen when he speaks to them. There is no stopping his justice and righteousness any more than a man can stand in the middle of a river and prevent its flowing by shouting and holding up his hand. How do you respond to the words of God in Amos? What do you conceive him to be like? If there is something smothering your faith and crippling the abundant life you have in Christ, let him reveal it. Don't dodge the hard words of God. Let them draw you to his side with greater speed and love than even his most tender words. Know his character. He works for your good through Christ our Lord, even in the furnace. And here, even to the stone-faced people of Amos's day, God tips his hand, as we'll see next week. No wrong answers discussion questions. Number one. How does God most often have to speak to you for you to listen to him? Number two, the greatest indicator of how a person will act in any given situation depends largely on what they conceive God to be like and whether they take a high or low view of him. If someone were to follow us around and observe every action and hear every word, what might they tell us about what we conceive God to be like? Number three, Is it easy to take God for granted in His kind words of mercy, grace, and forgiveness? Do His hard words move you more than His tender words?